This conference is being recorded.
Whatever size circle I'm looking towards, I start with two questions. First question is, what is my intention with the dances? What's my destination? And how do I know when I get there? So my intention may be to use the session to introduce the dancers to individual newcomers or to a group community who know each other. My intention may be community building to create personal connections for myself and to create something that goes beyond the event, but that encourages day-to-day contact between participants. My intention may be to use the dances as a spiritual practice, and then I'm looking for committed students and potentially students on a Sufi or complementary path. And then I ask myself, how often can this circle meet? Can it be weekly? Can it be monthly? Is it just occasionally? Is it just on special days or for special events? So the frequency with which the circle meets has a lot to do with my intention and vice versa. So then I can come to the question, what is a small circle? I always like to define my terms. So the word small is relative quantity linked to the perception of the leader. So it's the leader who decides what small means in his or her mind. Small isn't good or bad in itself. It's always out there in relationship to your own perception. And a leader's magnetism can actually increase the perception of size in a group. So it's not a limiting factor. Small isn't a limiting factor. Small is also a relative quantity linked to the quality or the experience of the dancers. So the math goes something like this. The greater the attunement, the smaller the circle can be in order to have a positive experience with the dancers. If you have experienced dancers, there is no such thing as small. Where two or more are gathered, the energy begins to build. The battery is there. I've been meeting with one person who started out as a brand new newbie to the dances and who now, 14 years later, is my co-leader almost at every event that I do. But we've been meeting, the two of us, for 14 years on a weekly basis for about 3 hours a session. So we never think small. Experienced dancers who know each other or who have danced in other places feel more comfortable in smaller numbers. So in all those cases, the issue of small doesn't play into the formula. But with newcomers to the dance, there is a comfort zone, and that may be different for different people. Some people who like to experience new things are perfectly fine in a small group, but others may feel exposed. They may feel enough crowd to be part of. So that type of individual might feel too obligated to continue eye contact with the leader, for example, or to feel they have to be at attention. So it is probably to those circumstances that I'm going to address some of these issues. To a circle with a number of newcomers and the circle itself is small. And again, keep in mind that that small may be different for each one of us. For someone, it might be 6, and for someone else it might be 8, and for someone else it might be 12. So it's kind of what you consider small in your own mind. The first consideration for small circle dancing is the physical part. Small circles have close quarters, tight quote close quarters. There's a small inner space, and that might be intimidating to some people. The small circumference of the circle makes people make a lot more curves in dancing, or the spins can create more dizziness. And the lack of multiple partners can feel more monotonous to some newcomers. Vocally, a small circle has a challenge by, of course, not having the volume of a large circle. Newcomers may feel intimidated to sing loudly because they feel their voices are more exposed again. And if they have to sing, their voices will tire quickly. Energetically, the leader is always in first gear. You can't put the dance on autopilot. You are constantly holding the energy together in a small circle of newcomers. It takes a longer time to build the energy and a quicker time to tire in a small newcomer circle. So what can be some of the dance considerations with these kind of challenges? Well, this is true for any size circle. The important thing is to be welcoming and inviting. And this one I have marked in red and in bold. Absolutely show no disappointment for lack of numbers. Show the opposites. Be enthusiastic and appreciative and totally excited about anyone who's arrived, even if it winds up being one other person. Create a safe and friendly atmosphere. Just do the basics, introduction of names, description and definition of the dances, basic how-tos. Don't make the assumption that everybody knows what they're doing. Gear your explanations to the least experienced person in the circle. Do some easy warm-ups. Emphasize the easiness of the dances and let go of trying to correct too many things. Just do the basics and let the corrections go. In terms of creating a dance list, the old rule of thumb that I learned in my first dance camp kind of still applies. Begin with non-partner dances. Give people a chance to warm up to the circle and not have to face a partner and do very close eye contact. So start with a number of very easy non-partner dances. Choose dances that have minimal words to learn, dances that have basic steps instead of fancy steps, easy melodies, and strive to what I call underwhelm rather than overwhelm. One of my early dance mentors gave me a phrase that I hold all the time, leave the dancers wanting more. If the dance evening ends and people say, I wish we had done more, you've done a great job, rather than having people feel tired and, I wish it had ended a half an hour earlier. So underwhelm rather than overwhelm. To create more space in your small numbered circle, I often opt for open circles, which means that people aren't holding hands, but it can double the size of your circumference if you just have angels dancing between you. And then you just adapt your arm and hand movements to either imagining that you're holding partners or some other form of hand movement, like hands at the heart. I also have adapted partner dances to be done to the center of the circle rather than to partners, and use the partner dances that way. When I have small circles, my musician either stops being a musician, or because she's adept at this, she dances as a dancer while she plays. So I only suggest that if you're really good at it and you've practiced it. On subsequent sessions, repeat dances that you've already done. So people who have come once feel like they've learned something and they can say, oh, I know this dance. It feels good. And I like to intersperse the dances with plenty of stories and poems and readings and walks and sharings and refreshments and silence, so that, again, the dancers, the newcomers, aren't overwhelmed, so they will want to come back. And the last thing I'd like to say is something for you as a leader to be challenged, something that I began because of small number circles, a kind of an asset, and I call it prescription dancing. So rather than come with a agenda of what dances I am going to do, I sit at the beginning of a session, have people introduce themselves, and to talk about what's happening in their life, and perhaps maybe pick an angel card and pick a quality that they can focus on, but mainly to get people to be present with their life situation. And then I choose dances, one for each person, that will complement where they are with their life. It's very challenging, and when I first started doing it about 15 years ago, I was a nervous wreck. But as the more that I did it, the more I liked to do it, because the feedback that I got from the dancers is that they went home with a practice. They went home with something that they could do on their own, and it would encourage them to come back. And oftentimes, they would remember this dance that they got, especially for them, more so than anything else that that happened that evening. And more than anything, I think this helped to connect them to come back again, and do it again. So that's a whole lot of information, and like I said, I have it all written up, but those were my quick thoughts on my experience with small circles.
Okay, thank you. This is being recorded, so people can listen, they can call in, and those that have said they couldn't be here will get the numbers to dial in to hear it. Is Elizabeth here? Latifa? Nope. Is Alima here? I heard two times while you were speaking. Nope. Did anyone join then?
This is Pat Adams from...
Oh, okay. Anyone else join? I heard two times.
I joined from Arizona, Savannah.
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, well then maybe we open it up. Anybody else have any experiences to share or any questions for Radha?
Radha, this is Khadija Lynn in St. Augustine. First, I want to thank you for all your comments. I thought that they were really, really helpful. I did want to ask you, when you talk about asking people for their life situation. Do you have like a set of dances that you kind of have in your mind based on kind of common life situations?
Yes, I do. And it's why I say doing what I call prescription dancing is a challenge. And what it did is it made me really beef up my repertoire. So during those weekly sessions that I meet with Alima, we spend a lot of time just cycling through all the dances in our repertoire so that they're really present for us when something comes up. So I do, you can practice that at home by, if you have those angel cards that, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
angel
I do.
Cards?
Yes.
Yeah. So you can draw one at random and look at it and then say to yourself, okay, can I match a dance to this quality? Because generally speaking, what we're all looking for is qualities that come from that angel deck, positivity, strength, forgiveness, love, courage. They're very basic qualities that we cycle through, and so you can practice at home and kind of just brainstorm what dances in your own repertoire would work for what qualities.
Yes, thank you.
Hi, Rhonda. Pat Adams from Portland, Oregon. Hello?
Yes.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
We have some focus out here on the meetings of not having too much non-dance material, stories, etc., because it's thought that people come to dance.
Can I
say something? I have one of the first kind of rules of thumb that I teach in my trainings is this phrase that I picked up from architecture. Form follows function. So, and not the other way around. So if you know your intention, the form comes through that. Through your intention. And if it's working for you, don't change it.
I get it. So if your dancers are struggling a little bit, maybe wanting a little something else, then that's a good time to experiment to see if readings or
yes.
Whatever might be. Okay, great. Thanks.
But if it's working, hey, then you're doing it right.
Okay.
and different communities, different people will want different things. The challenge is, and I've certainly had this happen in my circle, where a dancer wants just to dance, doesn't want to know anything, doesn't need any explanations for or any translations for any of the sacred phrases, just wants to dance, and somebody else wants all the details, all the left brain details of the words, where they come from, and so on. So in those cases, if you want to keep both people happy, you have to kind of find the happy medium.
Right, right. Good. Thank you.
This is Hira from Seattle. The other element that I find with putting in things that are not specifically dance is then I have to make the decision, are these people going to stand up while I read the story, or do we get them comfortable sitting down? Because a lot of our dancers really, find standing to be the most difficult thing, myself included. Moving is fine, but standing still wears on my body a lot, and it seems as we get older that's happening more. So then sometimes I'm looking to decide when it's time to sit down, because I don't want it to happen over and over again. People also don't want to get up and down off the floor. But also when I'm in an outreach situation where there's totally adequate space and there's enough chairs, having them really handy so that we're not, the circle is partly formed and keeps it formed by making a circle of chairs that's appropriate size, but then so we can easily sit down and easily get back up without it feeling like people have to do a lot to get comfortable, and that helps especially with the outreach events that I do where they're small group, because I think people in rural areas seem to be coming partly because they do want connection with other people, and they will feel, if they're sitting in chairs together, they feel more comfortable with actually, asking questions and sharing a little bit about their experience, too.
And the age medium of our circles here in Vermont is increasing and not decreasing. So I always have chairs available. There are cushions and backrests available, but always some chairs for people who can't make it to the floor.
Any other questions?
I have another comment. This is Hira again. When you were first saying you open up the circle, when the circle is such a small number that the diameter would be so small, what I was understanding you to say is that you have invisible people between, angels between each person and the other. Is that correct?
Yes. Or there are a number of dances that work just really well without holding hands. And just kind of to give you an example of like the Heart Sutra dance. If you imagine that, rather than, so you make the circumference large so that the container inside is bigger than if you had five people, and you had to hold hands. So you're really kind of getting into somebody else's personal space because of the size of the circle. But if you step back two steps, you're having more of that space, and then as you do the dance, part of it is done walking anyways without holding hands, and then when you move back and in, you just let your hands not touch there's space between hands, but you're still doing the same movement with your hands. But it, in my experience, and I'm really talking again, I emphasize this is for newcomers, because for people who are experienced and who understand this form, that personal space gets diminished, and you can have a circle of four and not feel uncomfortable about it. So these are more suggestions for a small circle with newcomers who aren't experienced in this form.
Yeah.
So I have a list of dances where it works really well not to hold hands but to have an expansive circle.
I like it also because some of the dances, there's significant movement from the outside towards the center, and in a small circle there's very little room. Like most movements are at least four steps in and four steps out, but with a circle of four there's not room for four steps in. So it can give a little bit of a confining feeling.
Yes.
Whereas if, you know, you start out in a bigger circle and move towards each other, you're getting that feeling like you get when a big circle moves in. Another thing I've done is actually make the container by only forming part of the arc. Now, sometimes I want the connection of holding hands, so leaving, you know, an invisible section of the circle. And even I've done that with partnerships where when you get to the end of the arc, then you're going to have a few extra steps to get around to the next part of the arc to find your next partner. But it's okay, you know, you just walk a little faster and you get there. But to make a bigger circle that way by just leaving, you know, part of the arc out. And I've used it that way also. Sometimes I want to do things that are in a round and with two circles, but it can be two arcs that sometimes one's behind the other and sometimes they're across, as long as they keep track of that they're an outside circle or an inside circle. It works still that way too.
Hello?
Hello.
You're able to hear me. I didn't know if I had to push any kind of buttons. It's Madeline, and Sheila and I have been asked to go to St. Thomas University this coming weekend to a body, mind, soul conference. It's a social work and spirituality group. So any advice on how we should approach a totally new group? You talked a little bit about it, but maybe there's some other pointers with this kind of a group, how you would work with them. We'll probably be in some kind of a classroom or something. I'm not sure what we'll be doing exactly, but so Radha or anybody else who wants to address that?
Right, this is Radha. I would really like to hear from other people.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, this group, we've never met them, and we were to go before Christmas, but it was canceled because of the H1N1 epidemic, per se. And so now they're going to have it, yeah. So maybe it's, anyone had this experience? Have you just been asked to go to a totally new group? Academics, perhaps we'll call them.
Hi, this is Sky Manjita.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the first thing I would do is ask if anybody has ever danced before, because sometimes you will be surprised,
mm-hmm.
even at situations like this, and it'll turn out that there are some people who already know the dances.
Mm, good, yeah, good suggestion. Mm-hmm.
Which helps, you know, then you have a small group of people that a more experienced people. And I'm also wondering, can you take anybody with you?
Well, there's two of us going.
Well, there'll be two of us going, and we have been leading, both leading. Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering if anybody in any of the people in your dance circle, if it would be acceptable, or if they would be interested in going with you, because, again, that gives you a little bit of a support network of people who already know.
It's about 5 hours away is the only thing. So.
Never mind.
Yeah, I don't know. We could ask if anybody wanted to go, but it may not be possible because of their jobs and stuff. Yeah, but a good suggestion if they were a little handier anyway, if we were going handier.
Madeline, this is Radha again. I would say to know your audience as best as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Ask ahead of time a lot of questions. One thing that I learned, by making the wrong decision many years ago is I was asked to teach the dances to physical education teachers in a public school system in town where I was living in Connecticut. And I think there were physical education teachers and music teachers, and I neglected to bring with me any handouts. And I thought that I was going to get tar and feathered because they were a group of people who relied on and expected some form of handout.
Now, there might be
other groups that don't need it, don't want it, but that particular group was used to it. I assumed that because they were music teachers that they would remember what I had, what dances I had done, and they wouldn't need it, but it was actually the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually went home, and I quickly came up with a number of handouts, and I got it back to the superintendent's school to pass out. So, but I'm not.
I'm not saying that you
need to do handouts. What the lesson learned is to know my audience ahead of time,
or at least maybe some description of the dances and what they're, you know, where they've come from, and all of that might be helpful because it'd be a new audience. They're interested in spirituality, which is good. The people coming,
yeah.
It is about spirituality. Yeah.
And you certainly can point them to the website.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. One of the things with, this is Hira again, one of the things with new people is you may not know, you know, whether you're getting older people or younger people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can find that out, that's good. It might give you a direction of whether you want more lively things or more subtle things. Though it's good to come with an array of everything. But particularly when you're ending up with older people who are people who are not moving freely, it's always good with new people to let them know that they can modify movements. New people will say, oh, there's turning, I can't do this, and go sit down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll go away saying, oh, well, that's not for me. Or there's a lot of sidestepping and a lot of dances. And particularly I'm finding older women who have born children cannot tolerate a lot of sidestepping consecutively. So, you know, I try not to pick too many of those kind of dances or to be sure to tell them that they can just take small steps, you know, facing in the direction we're going,
right.
Modify movements. But, you know, those things, arms on shoulders, you know, people get intimidated when it's new to them and they're afraid they're not doing it right and they haven't been told to go ahead and approximate the movements.
Yeah. Our group last week, we had a woman who had broken her hip a couple of years ago and joined in, and she seemed to do quite well, but that's true. That she, you know, some encouragement that people could do things to their ability would probably ease some of the feeling there if you can't, you know, can't keep up. Yeah, good idea.
This is Pat from Portland, and I might offer that if you could find out just enough so that you knew you were going to have one real hit with these folks, if they were mostly Christian-oriented or some other clue. I did some dancing for some nuns, and so I made sure I had Ave Maria, and not that I didn't. I also did some Islamic dances. So,
sure.
But, you know, one hit would be...
Well, it is a Catholic university, so we probably should include some good, like Ave Maria or any of those. Yeah, would be good.
Yeah, so they have a comfortable place to start from.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Aramaic, too.
Pardon?
Yeah, and I'm wondering, what's the, have you seen any of the information about the conference? You know, like,
well,
the theme?
Yes, yeah. Well, it's mind, body, and soul, it's called, and social work. They have it's part of their spirituality and social work. They're moving, like, there is a North American Association now, and they're having a conference. They invite people of all ages. Like last year, I know a friend 10 years older than I am, and I'm up there. So it'll be all ages that'll be there. There'll be retired social workers, and there'll be the students too, because that are studying. So yeah, so it'll be quite a variety of ages, I imagine. And they're doing some Native American things, so that, you know, it's quite an open idea. We'll be competing with other workshops, I guess. So people will be choosing to go to our workshop, kind of thing. I guess that's all I really know, pretty much, now. Yeah.
It probably would be good to then find out how many concurrent events there are and what the total enrollment is, to get a sense of what your numbers are going to be. Mm-hmm. And if it looks like you're going to have small numbers for the room that you're in, if it would encompass, if it would accommodate large numbers, and it looks like you're going to have much smaller than that, to bring chairs in to, you know, define a space that's, you know, what you expect the circle to be, and then you can always push them back. It's much easier to push things back than to pull them in to create a space.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you can bring prayer flags and stuff like that, beautify the space. A lot of times you're going to the classroom with just fluorescent lights. I found if I can bring a couple lamps and prayer flags to create an atmosphere, that helps too.
And I probably should email to make sure that, you know, we have a room that's fairly spacious. They've planned this twice, and they've had two different people in charge. So, yeah, I'll probably do that prior to, yeah. Good suggestions.
This is Subhana from Arizona. I just feel that I want to say we had a conference that sounds like it's the same organization here in Arizona, Tucson. Maybe it was a year ago or 2 years ago, and they actually flew in Brother Joseph, I believe it was. And it was a very diverse group. It was a large group, social workers mostly. But what I'm remembering about how he presented, he had a real broad base. He had a lot of the space, and he had musicians for him. But what he did that struck me was he was extraordinarily welcoming, and took a lot of time, you know, making a lot of eye contact with people, and welcoming was maybe one of the themes for me that I remember. And covered all the religions, so there was the universality of it all. So there wasn't any favorites, and you know, I came to support. So some of us locally came to support and be there and guide too. So there was that somebody had already suggested. But the beautiful descriptions and the reverence for each path was so wonderful that I just think it melted hearts. And that's what I remember. Mm-hmm. And I think it was that same groups, social workers with a spirituality
mm-hmm.
focus. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Mm. Well, I actually got the idea of offering the dances because they had done it in California at an event there with the North American Association. So this group may be smaller, but, you know, because it's a smaller community, but it's just a local kind of thing going on, but anyway, that's how I put forth that perhaps we could offer the dances. Yeah. Yeah. So it looks like it's something that will be part of these social work events, which is good.
This is Radha again. This is something that I don't do enough, which I would like to remember to do more, particularly in circles where there are newcomers. If I have a long enough session, I'd like to leave enough time towards the end, perhaps the second to the last dance, to be a repeat dance, to ask the people there which one of the dances that we've already done they would like to repeat. And I find that by repeating it, it actually will go to a different level already.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of brings across the practice of repetition. And like I say, I often forget to do that, or there's not enough time. But when I do that, it really works well. It's always applauded. People be able to repeat a dance.
That's a wonderful idea. It also gives the circle some control, some leadership.
Some ownership, kind of, in a way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is Patty from Wisconsin. I think your transition from sitting and learning, what are these dances about? How did we get in this room? What are you going to have us do? Is an important part. Possibly using singing while still sitting down before you add that there is movement and you need to stand up and get ready to learn it. And possibly even because you don't have familiar people, working with singing something really simple or just chanting Om or just chanting Hu, encouraging people to sing just loudly enough that you can hear the others, so that you can tell that everybody in the room's voice is in.
Okay.
Gives them an idea of how to be a community instead of a glob of individuals.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I had great fear when we were asked to go up in the fall with the H1N1 was how we would have people join hands when everybody was very afraid of the spread of bacteria, right? We seem to be over that now, but still that is something that is a little frightening to people that aren't very touchy-feely, you might say. Anyway, that's more of a comment, but maybe people have ideas how to make people feel comfortable with touch, I guess.
One of the things...
Don't do it in the first dance.
Yeah, there is that. One of the things in bringing the hands together initially is often I'm saying as you come... Well, I'll be coming out of a walk usually, but... that the right palm's back and the left palm's forward, or the right palm's down and the left palm's up, and then do some breathing actually with that and noticing the receptive position on the left side and the, you know, the giving position on the right side, and getting them to get the sense of why we touch hands, and then notice that flow from the left to the right is crossing at the heart, through your own heart, and then imagining that it's going around the circle. Now, that's maybe too woo-woo for some people, but some people start getting the sense of that magnetism, that doing something together is got that magic, and just that, you know, this is part of the... it's like alchemy, you know? I mean, it just happens to work. So putting it in those terms, then it's different than touch for affection.
Right, yeah. Gives them some comfort with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
This is Pat again. I when I taught them dances with the children, they were understandably kind of silly and nervous about holding hands.
Yeah.
And so I did take a little bit of time to explain that these are dances of universal peace, and we think that if we're going to have peace, then we kind of need to learn how to hold each other's hand, even if it's a little uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
This is Radha. Pat, I'm glad you brought up dancing with children, and I kind of feel like I need to speak up for my co-leader, Alima. She is one of the few people few dance leaders that I know who dances every single day with school children in a public school. And she's been doing this for many years now, I want to say 4 or 5. And she is a music teacher, so she just incorporates the dance into her music lessons. And she, to be politically correct, she calls it the movement of the month, rather than Dances of Universal Peace. We had, when I first started working with her, I did a artist-in-residence program, and we got a little bit of flack from a Baptist minister. So she's learned not to call them Dances of Universal Peace, but when she calls them the movement of the month, it becomes a study in world cultures through music and movement. And everybody does the same dance. So everybody in the school will do the movement of the month, whatever it may be. And then by the end of the year, they know 9 dances. And then the entire school has a celebration of these dances together. So now, having gone into her 4th and 5th year of doing this, there are children, you know, who started in kindergarten or wherever, and they're requesting dances, they're remembering dances, they're asking for, oh, can we do the one with the elephant god, you know, or can we do the one with the line, which is the Jewish line dance. And they have their favorites. And if there's no more complaining about, I have to hold so-and-so's hand, or, you know, it takes time. This is very powerful work. And of course, if you're just presenting the dances, whether it's to children or an adult, there's going to be a little bit discomfort just from the newness of it. But the evidence through what I see in Alima's classes is they get it. They truly get it. And in fact, kind of the best compliment that was paid to her was a group of girls from one school met a group of girls from the other school that Alima teaches at a Girl Scout convention. And she wasn't even there. And one of the groups of girls started singing one of our dances, and the others recognized it, and then the two groups from 2 different schools just joined and did the dance together, minus the leader, you know. So, but it takes patience, it takes perseverance, and it just takes faith that it will happen the more that you do it.
It's a lovely story.
Yeah.
This is Lynn Davis from California. May I ask a question?
Yes.
Thank you. You spoke about leaving people wanting more so that they would come back. I think I want to ask a question about the people who don't come back. I live in a small town in Northern California. So I'm drawing on a pool of people, and I've been leading dances monthly for about 4 years here, and I'm always running into people who've been to a meeting once and never came back, and it's a little bit uncomfortable. I'm not sure whether I should say it. I mean, I don't want to say, you know, why didn't you come back? But I am curious to know why they don't come back.
Lynn, I'm so, so glad you asked this question, because I think this is a question on most leaders' minds. It's not getting someone there the first time, it's getting them back the second time. And I've, in my travels, in my own state, I have heard this over and over and over again. And the interesting thing is those newcomers will come to me and they'll say, I had a great time. I'm coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And I never see them.
Right.
I have a, you know, I have a mailing list of 80 people
mm-hmm.
locally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if I ever saw 80 people at one time, I wouldn't know what to think. I would not think that I was in my own home circle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have an explanation. I have my own explanation over the years, and then I also have something that a dancer actually told me. So I'll start there. A man came to my dance circle for the first time. At the end of it, he came and said, great, I love this. This is great, wonderful. I'll be back next month. Next month he came, but he did come back. And he came up to me at the end and he said, this was great. But I noticed that I wasn't as excited coming here as I was the first time. And he kind of self-analyzed himself by saying, the first time I was excited because I hadn't done it and there was excitement in the discovery. And the second time, I already knew what I was coming for. And that's such an odd thing, but that's what he said to me, and you know what? He never came back ever again. So I only got him for twice. And my own personal kind of rationale is that what we do is extremely powerful. We put together the most powerful spiritual tools of transformation. Voice work, breath work, concentration, sacred phrase, group work, the circle, you know, these, and any one of those things alone would be powerful enough to transform you. And we put them all together, you know, so it's like giving somebody a booster shot. And they recognize that it is wonderful, but maybe it's just a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really hard for them to handle.
Mm-hmm.
To handle the possibilities. And all my mentees know the story that I tell. The first time I went to a dance meeting, and the leader did one of the dervish cycle dances where you go into the center of the circle and with a partner you do yahai, yahup.
Mm-hmm.
I did that dance. And I left the circle, ran out of the room, ran down to the nearest restaurant and had wine for the rest of the evening. I was so terrified of what I felt. I had an inner initiation into something, and I couldn't handle it for a year and a half before I went to another dance session.
Mm-hmm.
And now I look back on it. I said, of course, I was invoking life and truth, and I just wasn't ready to handle it. You know, so those are two of my experiences and why they don't come back a second time.
Mm-hmm. So it's not me.
No.
Yeah, it is a challenge.
On that note, I actually had an interesting experience a few days ago when I was with a women's group that I meet with monthly. And out of the blue, the woman who focuses the group said that we were going to have a go around and pray. And there was no discussion about whether we wanted to do this or not. This is what we were going to do after we'd done our check-in. And I felt so uncomfortable. And it was agony to get any words out at all. I mean, I would have just liked to have pulled my shawl over my head and gone inside, which is what I do when I pray at home right now. This is, you know, my current prayer life. But I felt that would have been just too weird. After this circle, I just felt so amazed that people come back to my circle at all. I think we all have experienced so much religious abuse and are so terribly sensitive to this. I think that's what it brought up for me, that, you know, I was being exposed. And I think people may have just such depths of feelings that come up in our circles.
This is Sky Manjeeta, and I would like to acknowledge that is, for me, the core of what the dances are about, the depth of connection with the divine and the depth of feeling. And that's the way I have always led. And yet, what I know from the circle that I was the main leader for a number of years is that there were people in the community who came to dances fairly regularly, but they did not appreciate that. They wanted, mm-hmm. They liked it when we would have a potluck before mm-hmm. the dances or food afterwards, and where the dances were fairly light,
mm-hmm.
and they could laugh and giggle a lot,
mm-hmm.
and it was like a spiritual party where they came to see their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so as dance leaders, I think that's when Radha said we need to be very clear about our intention. That's part of it. What's the purpose of the circle? Do we want larger numbers where more people might be comfortable with a lighter environment? Or do we want to go really deep and risk having very small circles?
Mm-hmm.
Just to let you know, I'm sorry to interrupt. This is Damira. I came on a few moments ago.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
This is Pat again. As far as the intention of the circle, I think it's well to recognize that no matter what we want or what we intend, the dances are at work.
Yeah.
And I have, just to make it a little lighter, I did a couple of times, I've said to the group, you know, when you get on an airplane and you sit down and the pilot comes over and says, by the way, we're going to San Francisco. So if your ticket doesn't say San Francisco, you might want to get on a different flight. So I do mention that these dances are powerful, and they can and do change me when I come and do them. So it's just a note of caution to the dancers.
Good point.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. This is Radha. And that kind of reminds me of the new the updated MTG guidelines, which aren't out yet. If you're a mentor, you've seen a preview of them, but I can say that there's more emphasis on leaders understanding group energy. It's not just about knowing the melody and knowing the movements. And knowing a few words about the sacred phrase. It's about understanding what happens in group energy and how responsible the leader is for guiding that and assuring, using your analogy of the airplane, which I often use myself, a safe ride. You know, because we are being taken to heights. So as leaders, it's important to ensure the safety of people taking that ride with us.
I have an email from somebody who can't be on the call, Sharon Gonsley, and she said that in our dance circle, we have found that full moon near the ocean is a good draw. Our former dance leader, Mark Anderson, held full moon dances here for 18 years in some very beautiful locations with luminaries and candles making for a special atmosphere. when he left Dan's leadership and a small group of us took over, there was a big drop in attendance from 100 to 20. Over the past 4 years, we've become better dance leaders and selected full moon time again, and our circles now number around 35. Shadda was just here leading a weekend retreat that had about 40 in attendance, many not the same people who come to our regular dances. Certainly the quality of the music improves with Shadda's presence, as does the leadership. We have a great statewide community, and retreats are a very nice way to increase the numbers at the local dances.
This is Mahbood in Gem Village, Colorado. Because I'm leading the circle that Sky Majia used to lead, or one of the co-leaders of that circle, it's interesting that we had a circle of close to 50 people, which is certainly the largest since I've been leading, on New Year's, and indeed the focus was very, it was difficult to hold the focus. Certainly a lot of new people coming to the circle, and probably, you know, there was the energy of some people just looking for a New Year's Eve party, perhaps. At one point, one dance just totally fragmented, and I talked to my wife about it later, and she said, well, I don't understand. You gave very simple, clear directions and so forth. But the closure of that dance, people sort of scattered around the room. I just said, regardless of what happened, can we just take a moment and feel, you know, I was starting with a Ganesha dance. Can we take a moment and feel that energy? So, I love to do, it's sort of this interesting trying to find the compromise between really wanting to do the deeper dance and inviting to have a larger circle and just trying to find that meeting place in myself as a leader. That's not really a question, it's just sort of an observation.
There have been about 8 of us dancing together now for a year, and we've opened our circle, it's Madeline speaking, in Halifax, Nova Scotia, to a larger group, but it does dilute things a bit, because when new people come in, you don't seem to get maybe to the depth that you do when you're dancing with a small group that are kind of in tune with each other, you might say. But that, I guess the thing is, we do want to enlarge our group, and those people come, hopefully they will also, the depth will deepen, I would say, anyway, hopefully.
This is Sheila speaking. I know we led a circle as an introduction. We had gone to one of Radha's retreats at Sky Meadow, and we had gone to Prince Edward Island to a conference, and we were asked to lead a couple of dances at the beginning on Friday, and there was a lot of giggling, and it was hard to lead, because some of them are doing it because it's part of the convention. They're not doing it because they want to, and they're not doing it to get the depth of the spiritual connection. So that's a hard situation. You can get the depth with two people dancing for an hour. I would say if one person comes, I'll lead. I guess it depends what you want. I think Radha said, you know, you have to set your intention. Are you exposing people to the dances, or are you leading a small group to deepen? Maybe we want to do both, and I guess we have to be patient with what happens when we're expanding the circle to include new people.
This is Hira again. Images that are coming is when I've had... I have worked with children in schools, but I'm talking now in regards to when we occasionally have a young child at the public meeting that's mostly adult, and then a young child that might run around the circle in the opposite direction or even through the circle. You know, these kind of things happen. And then at our Global Peace Dance, where we do that every year, there's a fire station across the street. And so there's periodically through the night, there's sirens going off. You know, and there are these kinds of sounds. And I've noticed with the sirens, you know, you just take it in and say that's part of the world. We have absolutely no control of it, and we actually want them to be doing their job. And if I take the same attitude with the children, you know, once we get beyond, you know, are they going to get hurt or are they going to break an instrument, and just let them be there the way they are, I can also say they're just doing their job. And even with the dancers who are giddy, that are adults, that, you know, people might tend to more react to them because they actually are their partners. Even that, I can say, they're just doing their job. Now, what's my job here, and how can I bring the most significant breath into this moment? And occasionally, for me, that means, you know, asking people to hold some silence, or asking them to not chatter in a corner, that this is, you know, that there's another place for them to do that if that's what they need to do. But usually it's just accepting, you know, maybe they need to get something through osmosis here. I certainly used to feel that about my children when they were little. At first they wanted to dance, and then pretty soon they wanted to sit on the couch and read. But I still loved having them there because I felt like they were getting something from being in the environment. And I suspect that all of the people, if not scorned for what they're doing, are going to get something from it. Mm-hmm. And then it does become more of a... Maybe less rewarding for the people who really like a meditative environment and could be in a group of like people. But there's something about dances that I want to allow to be there for people who are not in that place yet, too, that, you know, they're going to get what they can out of it. So, you know, if it's a public meeting, it's one thing. If it's a closed meeting, you have a closed meeting, and that's a different and delightful thing also. But I am glad to be part of public meetings and with outreach, be with a really wide range of people with different intentions, and accept that, you know, that likely is not going to be as deep as if it was in a closed meeting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've led in a prison, and I found it fascinating because we went in five leaders, and none of the leaders stood up and danced with me. But one of the guys, the inmates, stood up and danced and enjoyed it, seemed to. And I watched the faces on the other inmates, and they all smiled and laughed. And at that moment, I thought it was totally appropriate. And at least my sense was, you know, they were smiling and laughing, and one of them had already said that there are a lot of people in this prison that want to make your life miserable. And, you know, I'm trying to make my life happy here. So for that dance, there was happiness created. There was a moment of bliss, whatever, right? So it's all relative, really. Yeah.
Mahbhuta, can I have a question sort of to adjust for the circle in general, and that is, which has been such a stigma to me these days, marketing. How do we bring people in, even their first dance? What have people found successful in terms of bringing people in to try a dance somewhere? I'm open to any comments.
This is Hiren. We've spoken this in other telecons. It's really what's been good for our circle lately is Facebook. It just, you know, people spread it far and wide. So that's been, you know, as far as low budget, good marketing. Again, you will get people who didn't specifically come for a spiritual experience, and some of them will discover that their heart is captured. And, you know, it was just a gift out of the blue that they happened to be there, and some of them will be distractions.
This is Sky Manjita, and yeah, I would say the Seattle Circle is doing an outstanding job of using Facebook. I'm a member of that group, even though, you know, I live halfway across the country from there, and they do a beautiful job of announcing their events over Facebook.
Good plan.
So kudos. Give that back to the people who are organizing it for you. If I were there, I'd be coming because the announcements are so beautiful.
And it doesn't.
And, I also wanted to add that that is probably going to be the topic of the next regional telecon, is specifically using the internet and you know, all the global mediums that are out there now for marketing dance, your dance meetings.
And it doesn't need to be a dance leader who's taking this on.
No.
I mean, there are people who are saying, oh, I love this. What can I do? Say, do you like the internet? This is what you can do.
Yeah.
It isn't a dance leader in our circle. It's just somebody who is in love with the dances.
And it shows. Believe me, it shows in those announcements.
This is Hyatt, Donna Bain in Alexandria, Virginia. And I don't know if Shivadam's on the call, but he had mentioned at one of the PeaceWorks North America meetings that he found meetup.com to be really great for his circle. So I thought I'd just pass that on.
Thank you.
I don't think he is on the call, Donna.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is Jen Friedman in Longmont, Colorado. And
Hey, Jen.
I wanted to say hi there, everybody.
Hi.
Wonderful.
Hi.
Call.
When are you coming to Wisconsin?
My circle is sponsored by the Unity Center here in town. I also sit on the music team for the Unity Center, but what I have found is that our attendance is almost doubled on the when I am very diligent about making beautiful handbills and I stick them in the programs. The church program on the Sunday morning. And then I've taking that, I started just with my Unity Center, which sponsors the event, but now I have started doing that with other churches in town. And it's just been a great success. I know that, you know, there's costs associated with that, with printing, and I have some good deals that I get in town, but that's been very helpful. I print those quarter-page handbills.
Uh-huh.
I put four on a page, and then I cut them, and then I, you know, have a stack ready for the person who puts together the church program, you know, on the Sunday morning.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Maybe we could take them to all the churches.
Yeah. Well, we could go to the Universalist Church, couldn't I?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll put in a little plug here, too. We're going to be putting a dance organizer's toolkit up on the PeaceWorks North American website, and there will be several templates that you could download for handbills and flyers of, you know, graphics that, and designs that have already been tested through different circles. And so those will be available for everyone's use.
And we have one from Alan.
Thank you.
Godfrey. And he's wonderful. He in a previous life he was working in printing, and so he's just fabulous.
Great.
I'm Sheila.
This is Radha. One thing that I do when someone new comes is to ask them how did they hear about us, so that I kind of get to know whether it was word of mouth or whether it was the ad in the newspaper or how they wound up getting there, so I could see what's effective. And then I like to have little, like, bookmarks made with our local information so they could take it with them. If our dance meeting is the second Sunday of the month in Montpelier, so they have actually something physical to remind them of that in case they miss it in the paper or miss it on email. They can put it on their refrigerator and check the dates.
I used to have an email list. This is Sky Majida. And at every dance meeting, there was a sign-up sheet. If you want to get notification about our events, you know, let us have your email address. And so before every dance meeting, I would send out an email to, it was going to, I don't know, 50, 100 people probably at that time, of course. And the circle would, at that time, our circle would be somewhere between 20 and 30 usually. And I really think a lot of it was because people got a reminder a day or two ahead of time.
Which is important, yeah.
Yeah, we started doing that too.
It's so easy now with emails and Facebook that people are almost relying on that to be reminded.
Well, I'm glad
it's
I asked the
very
question.
Helpful.
I'm taking profuse notes here.
Very helpful for forgetful people to have reminders.
We send out two, actually, the week of the dance, you know, so.
Mabu, this is Hayat Donna again. I just wanted to say that I believe it may have already happened that Shivadam was putting on the website, on the North American Peaceworks North America website, the recordings of the previous telecons, because somebody mentioned that we had covered some things about marketing and promoting your circle in a previous telecon. So I think they've been put up on the website if you missed those telecons.
Yeah, I'll check that out. Thank you.
Sure.
And this one is being recorded, so if you need to tell people, you know, this is something they can listen to. Okay, we're 9:30. My time, anyway. Probably not yours. Any other questions, comments?
So this call actually started, I'm sorry, I guess I got confused. We're not on Eastern Standard Time?
I'm in Wolfville, Nova Scotia, so I'm Atlantic Time.
That probably threw things off a little. Yeah, Atlantic here.
Oh. I'll stay on if people don't all hang up.
This is Radha. I'm just so, I have goosebumps about thinking that here we are, some 19 of us, making a circle via wavelength of whatever we're using. I'm using my computer and home phones or cell phones, and our voices and our intentions are all connected, and this is wild.
Mm.
It's
wonderful. Sheila?
Yeah?
I'm Neela, and I'm from Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And I'm training to be a dance leader, and I'm totally blind.
Okay. So who's your mentor?
Taj Papalardo.
Okay. So how's it going?
Well, it's going pretty well. I'm training with I'm another sighted person, Diana, and she and I are training together to be dance leaders.
Well, that's cool.
And she, I'm her vocal support as well.
Yeah. Well, there are lots of senses being used in the dances. Yeah.
And I find the dances to be very spiritual, and we've done workshops. We're going to be doing some workshops in March and April and May.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. A wonderful gathering we've had tonight with everybody from so many places.
Do we have a closing or?
I have a poem that Jen had at the, I think the second one, which I thought was nice. Domine Ann Cappadonna, short quote that could inspire us for our journey forward. The path awaits our steps. The work awaits our hands. The world awaits our loving compassion. May we move forward each day with tender purpose and loving kindness in our hearts. And thank you, everyone, and have a wonderful night.
Thank you for doing this. Thank you, Sheila. Thank you, Sheila. Thank you, Sheila. Thank you. Sheila, have you hung up? No, I'm staying on. Okay. I'm still here too, Sheila.
Okay.
Damir is also still here. I guess I misread the time of starting.
That's okay.
Yeah, so I missed an hour.
I didn't. This is Patty from Wisconsin, and I didn't manage to start when you started because I was following the directions using a landline phone. I even tried it yesterday, and I got in yesterday to no call at all to listen to music. But it wouldn't work today, and I had to use a cell phone in order to get on.
Wow.
And I found that really odd because I tested it. But
so you know it worked yesterday.
No, yeah, it worked yesterday.
Well, this is a conference call that you don't need any reservations, so it can work anytime. It's almost like ours. It's really weird. I've always had to have a time and a date, but this one is a reservationless conference call. You don't even have to reserve it. You just have a number.
From the landline, it simply rang and rang and rang, and it never went to the please enter your code. And
okay.
I finally decided I'm going to break the rules and use the cell phone, and I have no idea why that worked and the other didn't. But
no.
You're all I've got to tell, so I'm telling you.
That's fine. Well, it's useful to know. Yeah.
I'm still here.
I'm still here. I'm here. It's Madeline. Well, Sheila can't get rid of me anyway. She's down the street, she said.
I'm happy to keep going. I just, you know, I felt like it should come to a close, but the people wanted to leave. But I don't know. Maybe they want, you know, I don't know.
One of the questions, this is Damira again.
Okay.
And I'm in the Asheville, North Carolina area. Actually,
okay.
I'm in Waynesville, and it's a smaller town to the west, and I am about to start a circle. But I Yeah, I'm looking forward to it and feeling good about it, and we'll see what we'll see. And the center where I'm starting it is, they call themselves Renegade Science of Mind folks, so that would be a good starting place in terms of some population for the circle. But, yeah, I'm intending to do, I still haven't done the Facebook thing, but I'm intending to do, quite a number of other things, and they're also intending to market it in a big way in the community. My major question at the moment was, I've been co-leading at the Asheville Circle since, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 months now, and my understanding, I just came to this area slightly less than a year ago, and I missed any discussion about what do you do when your numbers drop, because my understanding is this circle used to be really large, and this circle is largely dance leaders now, and an occasional, you know, one, two, or three, sometimes bigger than that, but not many other people come, and I don't know a huge amount about the history or politics or anything. And I'm fairly committed to facilitating a growing of it.
Yeah.
So
can I speak to that,
please.
Sheila?
Yes. Cool.
This is Radha Damira.
Thank you.
And I'm going to basically repeat what I had said in my introduction.
Since you weren't online then. Right.
And I had my own thoughts about what small means. And when I was asked to speak to to the idea of small circles, I started wondering, okay, so measurably, what is that? You know, what number would I consider a small circle? And, you know, I would say, well, maybe it's 12. And then I thought, no, maybe it's 10. And it kept going down, and I thought, when I have been in one of my circles is a circle of two, and it's my favorite circle. It's who is now my co-leader, Alima Ross. But when she first came to me, she was a total newcomer. She didn't know anything about Sufism, anything about the Dance of the Universe of Peace, anything about Samuel Lewis. She didn't know any other dance leaders. She came to me as a music teacher who needed some extra credit, some credits for her enrollment, her certification, school certification. And she loved it, and she wanted to train with me. So we established, she had Mondays off, and I said, well, come on Mondays, and we'll do a session for 3 hours, and I'll train you. Well, this is 14 years ago, and we're still Monday morning doing 3-hour sessions. And it's the best circle that I dance in because it's so attuned. I mean, we really have, we're there. We're there at the first step. We're there at the first count. So so small is very relative. It's a relative word. It's kind of in the mind of the leader.
I'm totally aware of lots of small circling type things throughout my history of just becoming, being a mentee and such. And I don't especially have a great challenge with that. It's just we are paying a certain amount of money for this space, or a certain amount of money is being paid for this space. And I don't know. I mean, I've heard regular leaders that I just assisted at say, well, this isn't enough for me or something. And I understand those internal, like, do I want to put my time and what? I guess what I'm asking is, like, again, this circle is probably 90% of the time it's mostly the leaders and a musician. And, like, there's 3 or 4 leaders or even 5 or more in the area. And an occasional 1 or 2, maybe sometimes a third other person. So you're suggesting just, like, I'm hearing you suggest don't concern yourself with the numbers.
I think the numbers increase on their own, and that the magnetism of the circle works from the inside out, so that the more you work on being an attuned circle in small numbers, the more likely someone will be attracted to that. And it may happen one person at a time. I'm thinking particularly of a group of 4 women in Canada who began a dance circle. And it was mainly them who attended the sessions, and it took years, but now they have a wonderful public open circle with lots of people coming. But they spent a long time on attuning to each other.
Okay, that makes sense.
And if it, you know, this may sound harsh, but if it means changing locations to somebody's house so that you don't have to pay rent, then that might be, you know, a temporary solution. I recognize that sometimes our finances are what prompt us to want more numbers. I'm looking at a new location in Burlington, Vermont, that charges $25 an hour for rental space. So it means for a 2-hour class, and that means we have no hardly any time for setup and takedown. Mm-hmm. We need to come up with $50 mm-hmm. per session. And if the attendants can't carry that, then I have to let go of that space, no matter how lovely it is, mm-hmm. for the moment, unless I'm willing to take it out of pocket.
Yeah. Right. It's a challenge.
Thank you. That makes lots of sense. I appreciate your sharing.
But when you stay focused and committed, that magnetism will draw people in. And again, one of the things that I said in my little preliminary talk, and that I have in my notes, I have it bolded in red, is never show any disappointment for lack of numbers. When you're there, teach to one person just the way you would if you had 20 people there.
That's pretty much how I've done it, yeah. In other small circles and such that I've had, so yeah. Okay. Again,
it's kind of like going to either a small or a large party, isn't it, in a way? You enjoy both. You actually enjoy both.
Yeah.
Different, but you enjoy both. It's true.
And that, you know, again, what I said in the end to this question of why don't people come back, it's just so prevalent out there that it does make me think it's definitely not anything that a leader is doing, but it's the nature of our times right now. It's having over choice, it's being overworked and potentially tired in the evening, or if you're running something just once a month, the chances of someone not being available on that particular night every single month is pretty high. So if they don't, you know, we just had a dance on Friday and two regulars had a special commitment somewhere else. So now it means that we don't see them for two more, you know, for two whole months. We won't see them because something else came up for them. And in the calendar, when you plan things, there aren't that many, you know, real days. I've come to look at the calendar, and we've tried doing weekday things, and some people are saying, oh, I have another class on this day. I wish you would do it on, you know, this other weekday. And, of course, if you do try any one of the weekend days, you can only do it once a month because no one will commit to giving up, you know, all of their Fridays or all of their Saturdays. So it's pretty tricky. Kind of, you just have to go with what works for you and hope for the best.
Right. That's what I've imagined.
And even, you know, the blessing in having so many leaders is that, you know, the assumption is that you're all very serious and committed and attuned.
We had three leaders, Fred, Habib, Madeline, and I. In September to December, we had a circle of eight, and then in January, there were just the three of us. And Fred said, I think we'll meet in my living room. That was January.
Right.
It's hard to know.
I knew a dance leader in New Hampshire who had a rule that if less than seven people came, they would just all go out for pizza.
That's kind of sad because those seven people would like to do it.
But if he wasn't willing, you know, if he didn't feel comfortable in leading it,
yeah.
Then for him, at least they didn't come out for, you know, needlessly. At least they did some socializing.
Yeah.
So it's really important. It's really important to feel good about any number.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Many rural ministers preach just very small groups, especially in winter. I lived in northern Ontario at one time, and you know, we'd have 15 on Sunday in February, and in the summer when the American tourists came, the church was full, but it was quite different. Yeah.
The most uncomfortable situation that I ever was in was holding a new dance session somewhere. I don't remember where it was. And someone came. It was the only person, and they had come by accident. They weren't even there intentionally. And so it was quite awkward.
Well, I led dances with just me and one other person. And Madeline went away to Truro to see her son. And I said, well, if one person comes, I'll still do it. So I guess I enjoy doing it, however many people are there.
How did that other person feel?
I don't know. I mean, she enjoyed what happened, but she didn't come back. And the one I did in the Greenwich Hall, it was a guy, it was a course that I was doing, World Religions. And this guy came, and he was, well, what we did was we had a talk about their life. And so he was from a family of alcoholics. So, you know, we talked about that tonight. I got to know more about their life. And the woman that came, Ceci, to St. John's Anglican Hall, we had a talk about her life as well. I mean, she had been sexually abused, and so there was a whole story there, and how she had worked on herself, but she didn't come back. So, but I see her, and she works for me. I don't think it was an accident that she came. You know, I think she was... Sometimes I think they're sent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quite comfortable with one. And I run a group for breast cancer support. It's called Best Buds support group for people with women with breast cancer. And again, if one person shows, I will go. But I do ask them to phone me beforehand because I don't want to go and be the only person and pay for rent like that. I don't want to do that because it's a lot of money going out every month.
I suppose you, if one person shows up, you can give them the choice rather than kind of having them feel like a captive audience. If they, just to say, look, no one else is coming and I'm perfectly happy to share with you what we do, but I want you to feel comfortable. So you could give them the option.
Yeah.
I think in the end, the bottom line is you just have to kind of trust in yourself and go with your feelings and then kind of observe what happens because of what you do and how you feel and keep reevaluating. And I noticed that after about 15 years of dancing, I started knowing things for sure.
Yeah.
And I didn't. It's not that somebody told me or that I read them in a rule book.
No.
It's because I have danced so many times that a lot of the experiences are just there. So that... that I'm making better educated guesses as to what to do because I've been down that road before and this has worked and this hasn't worked, or when I did this, this happened and I don't want that to happen again, so I'm going to try something different.
Yeah.
And every single group is different. So what has worked in one situation might not work in another, and I have to just keep always feeling it out. There are times that you know, kids will come and it's okay, and other times kids will come and it doesn't feel right.
No.
There are times that an adult comes and it doesn't feel right that they're there, and I don't always know if I've done the right thing, but you just keep learning.
Well, we had one experience with a child. There were a pile of mattresses in the room. It was Fairfield School. And he was up on top of the mattresses. We continued. How many were there, Madeline? Four adults?
Probably.
Fred, you, me, and the mother. And there was one time when we were all together in a circle, quiet, and he came. He must have, I don't know why he came at that moment, but he came and he joined the circle, I guess. And I think what
Mother, she was able to come because she brought her child, so that was, she was having the experience, yeah.
But she's been how many times? One, two? I'm trying to think how many times
she's been. Probably more than that, yeah.
Yeah, she's been a few times, and she's a single mother, and she, you know, a child goes everywhere with her. So, I mean, he was included at whatever level he.
And I was with them today. He's growing up.
Yeah.
So eventually he may be leading the dances, you know.
I mean,
because he's had the early experience, yeah.
Your expectations can't be the same for every circle. I guess that's the issue.
Well, I was thinking to the Acadia group that when we went and taught them in the...
Well, that was a wonderful experience. And they were saying how small the group was.
The hallway.
We had 12 in a hallway with people opening doors.
Yeah, the ones opening doors.
To see what was going on in the hallway.
Yeah. But anyway, I think they did, they certainly joined in. They were wonderful singers, and they really caught on to it quickly. Yeah. They seemed to have an experience.
I think because we advertise in the grapevine, we have got invited to events like that. You know, they were having a cultural day or weekend or whatever, and this was in a dormitory, one of the residences at Acadia University. And so somebody saw our name and telephone number, Madeline and mine, and they happened to call me, but and that's how we got invited. So I guess it's to be open to be, to go wherever you're required to be. Yeah.
Well, Sheila, I do have to go. I have a grandson to put to bed.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Your grandson's with you?
My grandson is with me. He's been with me since December.
Oh, good. Wow.
That's nice.
And I think he'll stay. We don't know how long he's going to stay, maybe through March.
Nice,
yeah. And that'll be nice for you.
Nice for the winter?
Yeah, I'm homeschooling him, you know, and that gives my daughter some space to do her studies.
Great.
I'm sure you're enjoying that.
Yep, I hear him. He's still on. He's on the computer on Skype talking to somebody. So I have to go and start reminding him about time. But I really thank you, Sheila, so much for
working
on this. And
thank you, Radha, for your
time.
Yeah. Oh, we'll keep you posted on our experience in Fredericton.
keep me posted, and I'll keep you posted about. What's going to happen next summer, and
and I'll be sending some money any day now. February's budget. I'll do my check.
All right. Well.
Or I can do it this week.
All right.
Good night.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Peace.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Bye.
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 Bye, Sheila. I'll call you on
the
other line. Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Good night.